It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. Retiring Urbana Congressman Tim Johnson is the lone Republican this week to break with his party and vote down an extension of the Bush-era tax cuts. Johnson says neither party has demonstrated a willingness to get serious about national debt.
Well, I don't know how you can get about the question of taxes unless you know how much money you're going to spend and where you're going to spend it. Quite frankly, in both cases, they have completely failed to deal with the issue that underlies our economic system right now, and that is a national debt that's crushing us. But I think it's short-sighted to set aside any revenue aspects of the way we go about solving that problem.
But Johnson said he was not surprised he was the lone no vote among the GOP, saying tax cuts are an issue for which there is tremendous party discipline. The two men vying to replace Johnson in the race for Illinois' 13th congressional district differ on the issue. Taylorville Republican Rodney Davis says it's unconscionable to impose a tax hike now on all Americans. And in a visit to Urbana today, Democratic opponent David Gill of Bloomington says he would only back the expiration of tax cuts on the wealthiest.
I support a tax hike for the 1% of society that's been doing very well for the last 30 to 40 years, while American workers have been the most productive workers in the world and seeing real wages stagnant since 1982.
Gill says Johnson told him in advance of his vote against the tax cuts. A three-time opponent of the congressman, Gill says Johnson understands the need to raise taxes on millionaires. Some employees at the University of Illinois should not expect raises in the immediate future. As Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports, the U of I has ended its collective bargaining agreement with campus union amid ongoing contract talks.
Officials with the Association of Academic Professionals and the U of I say they are close to reaching an agreement on a new contract for 300 union members on the Urbana campus. Those talks have stalled in recent months. U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler says the university is terminating its collective bargaining agreement with the union, which expired last July.
Our goal is to resolve this, and so we're hoping that this might provide the impetus to help us complete this.
Terminating the agreement means union members won't get raises this academic year. The union's chief negotiator, Alan Belonsky, says it's an unnecessary move by the U of I.
This only really makes sense if the goal here is just to bust up the union.
But Kaler says that wasn't the motivation behind ending the agreement. In the spring, union members rejected a proposal by the U of I for a 3% raise this year and the possibility of additional raises in the years to follow. That, the U of I says, was its last and final offer. The two sides will meet again with a federal mediator in a couple of weeks. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
Indiana State University has received local approval for its plans to drill for oil beneath the Terre Haute campus. The Terre Haute Board of Zoning Appeals gave the school permission Wednesday for oil exploration and possible drilling on the eastern edge of campus. Officials tell the Tribune Star that Illinois-based Pioneer Oil holds a lease with ISU to explore for oil on that land. Although local officials have approved the project, Pioneer Oil still needs to obtain a state permit to begin exploration. Indiana State University Vice President of Business Affairs Diane McKee says the company is covering all of the expenses of the exploration. She says any campus oil pumps would be submerged below ground and any gases would be burned in an incinerator to prevent odors from escaping. Lawmakers are set to decide later this month whether to expel Derek Smith from the Illinois House for allegedly taking a bribe. As Alex Keefe reports, a state representative has not been expelled since 1905.
His name was Frank D. Comerford, and like Smith, he was a Democrat from Chicago. But historian Rich Lindbergh says Comerford's name shouldn't evoke greasy palms and smoke-filled rooms.
Maybe a Don Quixote with his lance charging windmills.
Smith faces federal accusations of taking a $7,000 bribe, but Comerford's situation was quite the opposite.
He had observed acts of bribery and intimidation in a General Assembly in 1905 that was thoroughly corrupt.
So Comerford ratted on his colleagues to the press. Less than 2 weeks later, he was out.
And because he was expelled from the House is not really a black mark against his reputation.
Derek Smith's reputation still must survive a federal criminal case. But even if he is expelled, he could still be reelected. That's what happened to Comerford, who went on to have a highly respected legal career. I'm Alex Keefe.
Illinois health officials say the number of whooping cough cases in the state has now nearly tripled so far this year. Approximately 1,200 cases have been reported so far compared to 468 cases reported as of August 1st last year. There's a new immunization requirement for the 2012-2013 school year. Sixth and ninth grade students are now required to show proof of receiving the Tdap vaccine. That's an immunization against tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, commonly called whooping cough. The Illinois Department of Public Health says students must either show proof of having received the vaccination, have an appointment to get it, or have an approved medical or religious exemption on file. The latest U.S. Drought Monitor survey shows an increase in extreme drought conditions in four plain states, but a slight decrease in the overall area of the lower 48 states experiencing some form of drought. Hot, dry conditions have prompted officials in central Illinois to issue a ban on all outdoor fires in McLean County. The McLean County Emergency Management Agency Wednesday announced a temporary outdoor burning ban on an emergency basis until further notice. Dredgers are marking a deeper channel in the Illinois River from Pekin to Beardstown to keep barge traffic moving. Water levels are down because of the drought, and barges are carrying lighter loads to avoid touching bottom. In Indiana, the drought has worsened in the past week. A quarter of the state is now in the grips of an exceptional drought, but Thursday's update of the U.S. Drought Monitor also shows recent rains have lessened drought conditions in northern Indiana. And workers at an Evansville, Indiana zoo are mourning the death of a 61-year-old hippopotamus believed to be the world's oldest hippo in captivity. Mesker Park Zoo and Botanic Garden officials say Donna the hippo was euthanized Wednesday morning after struggling with the effects of severe arthritis and advanced kidney failure. A zoo statement says Donna will be greatly missed by both zoo staff and the community. Donna had been a fixture at the Evansville Zoo since August 7th of 1956, and zoo officials say she was believed to have been the oldest hippo in captivity. Most hippos live until their 40s, but Donna had been on display at the zoo for 56 years and had produced 8 offspring while in captivity. Zoo officials are planning to install a memorial to Donna at the zoo. Meanwhile, life goes on. As evidence, a Western Illinois zoo has announced the winner in a contest to name a new baby giraffe. The public voted on names for the calf born June 1st at the Niabe Zoo in Coal Valley. The new baby giraffe will be known as Wally. You can find more news at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.